Welcome to Chris's Cart Corner, episode 3. I am Chris. As always, not joined by anybody because Perfectly Sane Crew is off this week. I'm actually late recording this. This episode should be up right now. Instead, I am sitting here with my coffee on a Saturday morning talking about kart racers because I was lazy all week and played other things and did other things that were not related to podcasting or kart racing. But yeah, like I said last week on our Perfectly Sane fill-in episode, we're going to talk about Nickelodeon kart racers this week. I think this will be the last episode of this format going forward. I think I have a plan for how I want to structure episodes going forward. And we'll talk about that a little bit towards the end of this one. But yeah, Nickelodeon Kart Racers came out in 2018. Now, mind you, Mario Kart 8 came out in 2014. So at this point, the high water mark of kart racers across the board, and has been since then, almost a decade now, was released. So Nickelodeon Kart Racers knew that coming in. They knew they were a licensed kart racing game, and they knew that they were going to be competing with the juggernaut that is Mario Kart 8. And at this point, by this point in time, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has released on Switch, which is, you know, immediately a hit on the Switch, has been for what, 5-6 years now, almost 6 years that it since it released. It is consistently one of the best-selling kart racers, one of the best-selling games, not even just kart racers, from the best-selling games every year on the Switch, on in games in general as well. It is a juggernaut, and it is the high water mark for quality as well, not just you know, what they've done after Deluxe released, or even after 8 released. Just by itself, the gameplay, the design, the characters, everything top-notch. So keep that in mind here as we talk about Nickelodeon Kart Racers, which comes out in 2018, a year after MK8 Deluxe comes out. It is, you know, it's by a company called Game Mill Entertainment. They're the publishers, at least here in the U.S. I believe the EU had a different publisher. But that name itself does not... The name does not spark confidence in what that entertainment and production company would deliver. Game Mill just sounds like we're milling up games and tossing them out onto a conveyor belt. And sadly, Nickelodeon Kart Racers kind of feels that way. It feels like a shovelware game that is skinned to Nickelodeon properties. Now, sometime before this, Nickelodeon bought or licensed the rights to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so they appear here. Full disclosure, I am not a Nickelodeon kid. I did not have cable growing up, and I did not want, not that I didn't have it growing up. We didn't get it until I was probably in high school. And I don't have an affinity for Nickelodeon in most cases. No Rugrats, no SpongeBob. Like the Hey Arnold. These characters don't mean anything to me. So the nostalgia piece doesn't work here. I do understand that that is a big draw of Nickelodeon Kart Racers, and they have 3 of these games, and we will eventually get to the other 2. But this, I understand that's the draw. I get it. I get that the draw of Nickelodeon Kart Racers is that we are pulling in people that watched these shows when they were kids, and they now have disposable income, and they want to play games, or they're introducing their kids to these games, or their kids are still, you know, they're watching these shows I don't feel that this is more for the newer crowd of kids like that. I don't think that this is the characters that they have here. I know them. They are contemporary to me, a little bit past my time of when I was watching this stuff, but I know the names. I know the name SpongeBob. I mean, I know SpongeBob in general. Everyone knows SpongeBob. I know the name Hey Arnold. I know what the Rugrats are. And clearly, you know, the Turtles. Everyone knows the Turtles. But I don't think that these are characters or series that are necessarily appealing to today's kids. I may be wrong. My kids don't watch them. But, you know, I could be wrong on that. 100%. So this released on the Switch, which is going up against MK8 Deluxe. It released on the PS4 and the Xbox One as well. It features 24 courses and 8 arenas based on different locations for these shows. And the shows are SpongeBob, Hey Arnold, Turtles, Rugrats. Has a you know, a group of characters, 12 to be exact, 4 of which are turtles. So you have 4 Ninja Turtles. You have 1, 2, 3 from SpongeBob, including Patrick, SpongeBob, and Sandy Cheeks. I think she is the squirrel looking character, and then you have 3 from Rugrats. And 2 from Hey Arnold. So that's your draw. That's your appeal for this game. It is a licensed kart racer that is appealing to Nickelodeon. It released and, it did not score well. It honestly, every score, even the highest rating here, which was on the Xbox One on Metacritic, is averaging at a 49. Everything else below that, PS4 42 and Switch 41. And honestly, I would have kind of thought the Switch would have been higher simply because I think it probably appeals more to that crowd than, the more serious nature. Not that Switch isn't serious, not they don't have serious games, but it does have more of a family-friendly kind of view to it as a system than the PS4 or Xbox One does, especially on the review front. I think that the reviewers for Switch tend to be maybe a little less aggressive in how they review things. Anyway, taking a look here, so as I said, PS4, Xbox One, Switch. On the Xbox One, on Metacritic, it scored a 49, and that's based on 7 reviews, the lowest amount of reviews. And I'm, as I said, I'm honestly surprised that Xbox scored highest here, even though it does have the lowest base. I would have thought that it wouldn't have done quite as well, but everyone was kind of in agreement that it's fairly meh. Like, it's kind of right in the middle on it. And it's not. On the PS4, it scored the highest number of reviews, with 17, with 12 of them being negative, and that's really where it kind of hit. I do feel some of them are a little rough, like this one here from God is a Geek. Nickelodeon Kart Racers is just about a passable karting game. It feels rushed and bland. I mean, there's little here to inspire you for very long. I don't disagree with that. I just think that passable, 40's not passable to me. Especially not in today's scoring landscape. 40 is this is trash. And that blurb for that review, to be fair to that publication, I did not read the whole review, but to be fair to to them, maybe there's more to it that explains the 40, but if your blurb is like it is a passable karting game, feels a bit rushed, feels bland, and there's not much to keep you going, doesn't necessarily speak like barely unplayable with their 40 score here. But maybe they utilize their scoring system more broadly. I doubt it. And then on the Nintendo side, where they has the lowest score, but only out of 8 reviews, so one more than the Xbox, it is pretty brutal. Nintendo Life is the one. It's actually called out in the Wikipedia page as well. Unfortunately, Nickelodeon Kart Racers is simply not good. Derivative mechanics, pathetic character roster, and awful performance make this a bargain bin experience that you'll be glad you missed. If you absolutely have to play a racing game with Nickelodeon characters, then by all means, go ahead. But we'd highly recommend you take a pass on this sorry effort. Sure, I can't disagree with their write-up there. And the lowest one is from Dual Shockers. I wish I were joking and saying that the game's hard music and sound quality has been haunting me every night while trying to sleep. I cannot get the damned music menu out of my head. That's pretty terrible. I mean, that seems really harsh and also not informative. Again, I didn't read that review, but so critically not great. On the user review score front, slightly better, as generally things happen to go. On the Xbox side, users six, they've rated it a 6. On the PlayStation side, they've rated it a 5, and on the Nickelodeon side, they've rated it a 4.8. The Switch there getting the most of the user reviews, with 40, Xbox getting the least with 26, and PlayStation with 31. One from the Switch one that I want to call out here, again, not reading the not reading the name of the person, but this one just jumped out at me. Oh my Lord Jesus, I really wanted to love this game and add it to my collection of awesome kart racers, but no. Literally as soon as the game booted up, I was like, what the fuck is this? But my partner and I love Nickelodeon and still wanted to give it a try. Get to the character selection screen and it's apparent we are playing a mobile app disguised as a console-level game. He has more. Or they have more, I'm not sure. Man, woman, not sure. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, I fully agree with that. This game is kind of low effort. It does feel like it is a mobile game, something that should have been on mobile, and you should play it there for, like, it's a free download. You buy a character or you buy a course or whatever, or you can play and pick up coins and stuff along the way to eventually unlock it. Does have a bit of that feeling. Another review here, and I just wanted to call this out because it kind of goes back to what I talked about at the top here. I simply don't like it. Played it once, never played it again. Get Mario Kart 8 Deluxe instead. That seems to be the consensus. And I played this game, and we're gonna now get into talking about it. But yeah, it is hard to go play this game when something like Mario Kart 8 exists, even if you want a kart racer, unless you are in dire need of playing a Nickelodeon themed kart racer that plays poorly, doesn't look great, doesn't sound great, is just kind of mediocre at best. There's no reason to pick this one up. And we will talk about Nickelodeon Kart Racers 2 Grand Prix and Slime Speedway, which is the third game, at some point in the future. And my understanding is Kart Racers 2, which I haven't played yet, my understanding is that is a much improved effort. Even if it's maybe it still doesn't reach the highest highs, but it is fine. So compare this Nickelodeon Kart Racers to what we previously talked about in the Paw Patrol and Race with Ryan kart racers, the Ryan's World kart racer. This is the better of those three games. And that's honestly not saying much. Paw Patrol looks better, doesn't control better. Race with Ryan also maybe looks slightly better. And it plays about the same, but there's more visually interesting I think, going on here, even if it does look low rent and kind of shitty. So some of the courses, you'll like go through a school, there's like these boat races in for SpongeBob. There's sewer races with the turtles. And the turtles do have like this awful kind of, they have that awful Nickelodeon art design to them. It's not the turtles you want, but regardless, yeah, it plays like a kart racer. So you drive around, you do pickups, and those pickups, you know, you can use them as boosts or as weapons or as defensive maneuvers. But they're random, like most kart racers. So you never know what you're going to get when you pick up one of the mystery boxes. Where this game is better than Race with Ryan and Paw Patrol Grand Prix is that there is a progression system in this game. So you play, you pick up coins, you get experience, and you can then utilize this stuff to upgrade your cart. And you know, when you customize them from you pick up the coins on the course, and you customize your cart with like new tires, engines, spoilers, you get jet skis for when it's in like the slime or the water, and there's like paint jobs, which are just cosmetic. But the ability to upgrade your cart and make them better gives it like a little bit more longevity than you know, Paw Patrol or Race with Ryan, because there's a reason to keep playing. There's also a little more variety in their courses. You know, there's 24 courses. They don't, like, there's like variations, and I like they say, oh, there's 24 courses, but really it's there's variations on different courses. Like I don't think it's 24 straight courses, at least not how I remember playing through it. And that's kind of a problem with it, is a lot of this game's not memorable. There's also this slime boost mechanic where you drive through slime, and you could trigger these things as well as you're driving through. There are these kind of switches that you want to hit, which will release slime onto the course. You think that would be bad, but no, slime is actually kind of like your nitro. So you're driving through slime to fill up your, basically your boost meter and be able to kind of boost by. So you want to utilize that in strategic ways along with your power-ups and stuff. So I think like just mechanically, it's not great. It doesn't feel phenomenal, but just compared to the other two games we've talked about on this show, it is better. So I do want to give it that, like just having the progression, having the, the refillable boost meter on the field, gives it, you know, there's a little bit more strategic edge to racing. It's not a hard game. I think anybody that has any kart racing experience can beat it on the three difficulty levels. They're fairly simple to guide through. It's not like, oh man, like all of a sudden I've increased my ability here, and in the difficulty, but like the kart racers, the rubber banding is so awful. Like it gets a little bit, you know, rough. They are tougher in the harder difficulties, but you know, if you properly and strategically race, you'll be fine. But yeah, it's like, it's kind of a bland looking game, and I'm hoping maybe for Kart Racers 2 that they improve that. But I think like just the art design of this that Bamtang Games, who are the developers of this, did, it's just really kind of dull and bland, like cheap skin version of Nickelodeon. So it's like, you know, Nickelodeon, like, hey, we license this, but we're not giving you kind of like any assets. So like you do what you need to do. And they went the cheapest route, which is mostly no voice acting, no, like, it's just not, it's not great, right? It doesn't have what you'd want out of a licensed game, which is like, you want to hear the characters talk like the characters. You want to hear, you want to hear sound effects. You want to hear stuff that calls you back to the shows that these characters are from. Good licensed kart racers do that. And this one doesn't. And that's a thing with these Nickelodeon games. I think the Smash Brothers clone, I can't remember what that one was called, but you know, when that came out, it did not have voice acting either. And that was a big kind of drawback for it, because, you know, banter and sound effects from the shows that you are trying to draw nostalgia out of is important in making these games work. And Nickelodeon Kart Racers just fails on that front, along with its kind of bland art style. But overall, I do think better game than the other two we've kind of talked about here. I would put it as like a C-tier game, which I think is way more generous than some of the formal reviews that are up on Metacritic or even on the user side for Metacritic. But you know, there people are either love it or absolutely loathe it. There's no middle ground for the user reviews. I think this game got shit on a little bit when it released. To be fair, did not play the Switch version. I played it on Xbox, which plays fine. I did not feel there was any technical issues with the game. It's just bland, right? It's not, it wasn't, oh, the frame rate is awful and that causes issues with the driving. Maybe that's a problem on the Switch. That is a problem with other games on the Switch, so it is possible. But the version I played, it played fine. It just is bland. And to me, a bland game is like right in the middle. It's a C-tier game. It's fine for, you know, a short burst of play, but there are so many better kart racers out there that, unless, like, you know, that one review said, unless you are dying to play a Nickelodeon themed kart racer, there's not much reason to play this one. And there are two other games of which, as I said, I think that they both generally scored better, and they did. Looking at the reviews for two, you know, the scores are roughly 20 points higher for that. And I don't have scores on three, but similar would be my guess, is that like they've improved that game. I would not recommend going back to one at this point. But I'm going to place it as a C, which puts it as at the top of the chain right now. That won't hold, though, because I think the next time we talk, we'll be placing games above it. And I said games there. As I mentioned, I think I have a format that I kind of want to go with now going forward. And I'll plan it out a little bit better as we get there. But I think I want to approach it on more than just like, I'm going to talk about this one game. I'm going to talk about, you know, two, maybe three games at a time, to kind of like pit them against each other. So if you follow the site and the podcast that we do, Jeff and I do a horror movie podcast called Recurring Nightmares, where we pit two films in double feature style against each other, talk through them, and then score them and put, you know, one is the winner for the episode. I kind of want to do that with kart racing here, I think. So that is going to be what we do, at least in the next one, where we're going to go to a recurring series, kind of recurring karting in this regard, as we are going to explore the Final Fantasy kart racers, including the latest one, like Chocobo Grand Prix. And I believe the other one, which I will be replaying, is Chocobo Racing. So Chocobo Racing, Chocobo GP, About 25 years in between. Not quite that much, but Chocobo Racing came out in 1999. Chocobo GP was last year, so 22 years in between the Final Fantasy kart racing. We're going to be approaching them, talking through both, and kind of exploring the legacy that Chocobo Racing established and put on for Chocobo GP. I'm excited to talk about those two. One, I really liked Chocobo GP last year. It has issues for sure, but in general, very good game. And then Chocobo Racing is maybe my, like, after the Mario Kart series, is maybe the next kart racer that I played after Mario Kart, Mario Kart and the Super Nintendo, and then Mario Kart 64. I think Chocobo Racing might have been that next licensed kart racer. So happy to talk about that. I'm excited to kind of delve back into that and replay Chocobo Racing, so it's a little more fresh in my head. And be able to talk about that with you guys and pit them against each other, see what works, what didn't work, and where how Chocobo Racing inspired what came with Chocobo GP and where that franchise may go in the future. So excited to talk about that the next time we go, which I don't know when it'll be, because next week Perfectly Sane Show will return. Jeff and Tony are back from their extended vacations. And Earl and I are ready to go. We have lots to talk about next week on Perfectly Sane Show. Atomic Heart, one of them. That game kind of came and went really quickly. Jeff's been playing Octopath Traveler 2. Tony has some comments on Mount & Blade on consoles. Earl's going to be bringing us the news, of which there is quite a bit. And I'm sure Earl has played some stuff as well. We'll probably talk about Suicide Squad and what that game looks like and what we think about it, because they had an extended trailer presence at the PlayStation event. So we'll be talking about all that next week. But the next time I talk to you, it will be... next time I talk to you about kart racing, it'll be about the Chocobo series, as we pit Chocobo Racing versus Chocobo GP, and I'm excited to talk about them. So join us whenever that is, but come back, listen to Perfectly Sane next week, and y'all have a great, great week.